Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Again, got my friend Jesse filling in for Brian as he is out for the rest of the week. But Jesse, appreciate you filling in this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, big story, big anniversary, I guess, tomorrow. We've got the one-year anniversary from the January 6th insurrection.
You know, failed insurrection that goes unpunished is really just a dress rehearsal for something bigger, and that's not just blowing smoke. Anyone who knows history, particularly World War II history, understands what was called the beer hall putsch. A putsch is like a German word for like a military aggressive push, right? And in that time, that was when a younger Hitler and his acolytes tried to overthrow the government, and they weren't punished. And then we saw what was happened afterwards, right? I mean, they just like, oh, okay, well, we can push the boundaries that far. What else can we get away with?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you don't have to go all the way back to the 1940s and 1930s to be able to see it either.
20s, but yes.
Right. My apologies.
No worries.
My apologies. But the fact that when you see elected officials here in the state of Wisconsin, I think this past decade has been a pretty good indication of when you break the rules and you don't see the consequences for breaking those rules, you continue to go and Mark from the Sacks call, Walker broke the law, and then there weren't the ramifications. John Doe fizzled out.
Every parent out there listening knows what this is all about. If you don't set boundaries, they will get pushed, whether you like it or not.
And then those individuals will change the law to make the boundaries actually suit their needs. And then that's where we get to where we are in the state of Wisconsin.
Correct.
And so it's terrifying to think that there won't be ramifications. I believe roughly 700 individuals have received federal charges, though, in the last year. So since the insurrection happened, 700 of the rioters, protesters, whatever you want to refer to them as, they are getting federally indicted.
And those are the participants. The creepy thing about this is that we all know that some of the orchestrators involved are sitting in elected office, and some of them, unfortunately, are actually in Congress. They're literally members of Congress who try to overthrow our government. And that's what the January 6th Commission is all about, is digging through all of the data and getting it into the public record and finding out where the data leaves, right? Finding out who knew what, when,
yeah,
specifically.
And that's what we're seeing in these Trump texts, the Hannity texts, the Laura Ingraham texts.
And none of this would come out without that committee.
Right, so, Mark Meadows' texts. Like, yes, it is important to put this together because 700 individuals did not just randomly show up one day and then all of a sudden do all of the things that they're now federally indicted to have done. Those 700 individuals would not have federal charges against them.
Totally random.
If this was just they were all one-offs and it wasn't actually related and nothing was correlated and there was no reason that they were all 700 of them and maybe even more, because I'm sure there will be continuing.
It's estimated that there was like more like 2,500. So we're coming in at about 30% right now. Yeah.
Right. And I'm not saying 100% of the people there.
No, I'm just saying.
Some of them are running for Congress. Derek Van Orden.
Yes.
He was there. His cell phone records. He's running for Congress in Wisconsin's 3rd congressional district, and he gloated about being in D.C. on the day of the insurrection last year. And I believe cell phone records have him on the grounds of the U.S. Capitol as well.
Tick tock.
So he was part of the insurrection. That's true. Two of the members of Congress here from the state of Wisconsin, both Representatives Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald, still voted to not certify the election after the violence that occurred on January 6th.
Enemies of the Constitution and traitors to the Republic.
And so the fact that I really, there was supposed to be a press conference tomorrow at Mar-a-Lago. Supposed to be. There was going to be. And Donald Trump decided, TFG, the former guy.
Yes.
He decided to call it off. And so.
But why?
apparently he did not want to hold this press conference anymore because reports on his inside team said that it was not going to get picked up by cable news coverage and it wasn't going to be disseminated the way he wanted it to be disseminated.
So the tantrum child didn't get attention and then couldn't throw his tantrum. So that's how it works.
Correct. And couldn't lead the disinformation that he would be spewing out with said press conference, I believe. So I'm really grateful that that's not something I have to watch or cover. I'm truly grateful as my news component aspect of my job here at the station, I don't have to watch that now.
Well, and this
really
is just,
grateful.
Yeah, and as a citizen, I don't have to watch it or hear about it because, you know, such a malevolent, fated crust of a human isn't going to get the attention that he's begging for and needs like a heroin addict.
Well,
he's
not a heroin addict,
craving but craving it. No, he needs it to get by day to day.
Right.
And I don't mean to disparage people who are undergoing addiction issues, but this is also, you know, somebody who's also had his share of issues with addiction. I can tell you that this is absolutely something that Trump needs to feel whole, and he's not getting, and that's why he's not having this conference.
Fair enough. Well, my other comparison of it, rather than necessarily an addict, would be Trump's like Tinkerbell. If you don't believe in Tinkerbell, Tinkerbell dies.
The pixie goes away.
Right. Trump's just one giant orange, kind of Cheeto-dusted pixie. That's all it is.
Aww.
He's a pixie, and if we don't...
Orange pixie dust.
Right, orange pixie dust. And so if we don't have his press conference get aired out because he's afraid that he's not going to actually get picked up by cable news coverage, it just dies off.
That pixie dust is not good for your sodium levels.
No, I can't imagine. No, it's probably awful on the cholesterol, too.
Yes.
And it's just bad all around. But the fact is, I think it's very important that this January 6th panel is happening because not only is it good to not give Trump the intention that he wants so that he could do something like this again, it's also important to hold the individuals accountable that took part and orchestrated it and did the damage. Yeah.
The people at the top.
Right. The from the top down, this needs to be investigated. And so I'm really grateful that we do have the January 6th Select Committee on the job. It's taking a little bit longer than I'd like to say. But
I disagree with Kinzinger and Cheney on almost every area of public policy, but at least they're holding true to the idea that, you know what, voters should pick their representatives, not the other way around, or make stuff up or throw the results out if they don't like it. That is the very foundation of self-governance. That is the foundation of the American experiment.
Yes, absolutely. And it is heartening to see at least two individuals from the GOP, elected officials, get up and do that. Unfortunately, we do have two here in Wisconsin that said, insurrection, yeah, we're all
and
totally
for. And those two are getting kicked out of the party by their own members. We'll see. I hope Cheney, it'll be a litmus test to see if she gets re-election.
Yeah, we'll see in Wyoming for later this fall. But folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. Got my friend Jesse filling in for Brian. If you missed any portion of this great show, go check out the podcast, devilradio927.com. We got the Devil's Advocates coming up next, as well as the Earl Ingram Show and the Up North podcast this evening as well, after Native Roots Radio. So number of great local programs to stay tuned for. Thanks for listening.